I hear what you're saying, and I follow your arguments, but you're wrong. Here's Why by Ian Wolfe.
I'm speaking with Stilgarian about the Australian Federal Government's plan to censor the internet with a clean feed. Stilgarian is a sometime writer for Crikey magazine and a general internet guru.
So Stilgarian, the Federal Government of Australia wants to protect the children from the internet.
Yes, that's right. I mean, protecting the children is a very powerful meme for politicians to use. And in this case, it's come from originally really people connected with the conservative right wing of politics. Back before the 2007 federal election, there was a petition circulated largely at churches, and that came back with 11,000 signatures to say, we want you to do something about the internet. Kim Beazley, the former Labor leader, promised that they would have, as the petition wanted, centralised or internet service provider level filtering of the internet, filtering as they call it, to clean it up like a coffee filter or a water filter, I should say, and that became part of Labor policy. In the Me Too kind of politics before the election, the Howard government also said, oh, well, we'll do that too, to reduce the differences between the two parties. So that's the policy that resulted. Both the Howard government started working on it, and now the Rudd government continues to work on the path of ISP-level filtering of the internet. Well, I don't think censorship is a new idea for any government, probably back to the dawn of the age of the printing press. Every government in history has been fearful, to some degree or other, of its opponents publishing views that they don't want to see. Now, the idea of protecting us from the naughty bits, the dirty bits, and especially protecting the children is a very powerful cover story to make it palatable to the population, when in fact what the government is putting into place is something that's more wide-ranging. And through history, well, there's been plenty of examples where that's got very wide-ranging indeed, and that's the fear of the people who are opposing the government's current plans.
The old government's plans, the Howard government, they had a filter that you could download and put on your own computer.
That's right. That's the Howard government's NetAlert program, and it's still there at netalert.gov.au. The idea of that was that if you were concerned about people in your family seeing material you didn't want them to see, and we're, of course, talking protecting the children, that free of charge, you could download a filter, install it on your computer, set it to the settings you wanted, and then your children would be protected. Now, the problem with that plan is really twofold. It doesn't work, and no one was interested. It doesn't work because a young lad, a teenager, managed to defeat and uninstall the filter in half an hour. It was updated, and it took him 40 minutes to then break it after that. And it is extremely easy for kids to just share the knowledge of how to break that filter. The other problem, as I said, was that no one was actually very interested. In its first few weeks, hundreds of thousands of people downloaded the filter, but only a short time later, only 29,000 remained in use for the entirety of Australia. Now, that means that effectively once you count in all of the television advertising that went on before the election to tell people about this program, every single installed filter cost the taxpayer $15,000, which is an amazing number when you think that these filters are obtainable just from your local software shop for under $100.
And I believe the new filter that's going to happen at the internet service provider level is going to cost way more than that.
Well, we don't really know is the problem, because we're still in trial mode. Now, the trials were set up by the Howard government under Helen Coonan as Communications Minister, and Senator Stephen Conroy, who's the new Minister for Broadband Communications and the Digital Economy, which is a wonderful mouthful. Senator Conroy has continued with the plan without changing it. We don't know how much it's going to cost because, one, the trials haven't actually happened yet, and two, the budget really isn't fully set. Now, in the annual budget that was handed down earlier this year, the only money which was committed on internet filtering was for the trials that we're currently going through. We've had phase one of the trials, which was the lab test, and we're about to start phase two of the trials, which is with real internet service providers and real customers. Now, the money's been set for that, but the big money is for the 2009-10 financial year and after that. And it's not yet been made totally clear how that money will be broken up. Certainly, the government wants to spend more money on catching people making child pornography. They want to spend more money on education as well. And it may well be that it won't turn out that the filters will happen at all, because all of this stuff in the budget is labelled up to this amount of money. Possibly right. This.
The next lot of trials, I guess they're about to start, are the ones at the internet service provider level and with their customers. So I don't notice any of the customers being asked whether they want to be part of a trial where they get less than the normal service that they're paying for.
Well spotted, and that really is it. The lesson that we probably should take away from the NetAlert experience is that it's really a relatively small number of people who want to censor the internet in this way, and I use the word censorship quite deliberately. This is a very different system from any of the Western democracies. This is a very different system from those that any Western democracy is putting in place. It's instead the kind of centrally controlled, secretive list of naughty places which are blocked, which is much more akin to what is happening in China, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Libya, and other such beacons of hope for the world. And Senator Conroy has been denying this, but the simple fact of the matter is that's what it is.
And they're not even just looking at a filter of a blacklist of naughty places. They're actually just looking for general content as well. Isn't that correct?
And I can hear the kind of questioning in your voice. And look, the problem is none of this has been made very clear at all, because there is no clearly delineated policy of what will and will not be filtered. It seems that the policy making is going to happen after they've run the trials to see what it is possible to filter or not. Now, I might step back and just explain how internet filtering works. There's really only two things you can do. And all of the filters that are being trialed do a combination of these things. You can either have a list of known places where bad stuff can be found and block people from accessing those places, or you can on the fly kind of look at the traffic that's being downloaded live and try and work out on the basis of its content whether that's something good or bad or not. Now, the problems with these are really that they're not good enough, and whether they will ever be good enough is something that we could argue about. But at the moment, the government trials show you that it really isn't accurate enough for the real world. Now, let me give some examples of this. The first approach is to see where the stuff comes from. That means you have to have a list of bad places that has to be kept up to date. Now, the problem is the internet is changing live. There are people posting hundreds of thousands of things to the internet every single day. It's very difficult to see how any kind of bureaucratic process could keep that up to date. Now, Senator Conroy is saying we already have a blacklist, and it's true. It's about 1,200 sites that have been agreed upon internationally as really key places to do with things like child pornography and to do with known terrorist organisations. Now, those sites are blocked at the borders of Australia, and it's only a very small list, so we don't notice that sort of thing happening. But when you start talking about the real internet, with millions of websites and hundreds of millions of web pages within Australia alone, before you start talking about internationally, it's just a completely different problem on a completely different scale. The other way is to try and block material based on its content. That means as someone's downloading a photograph, you have to determine, say, whether this photograph has large areas of pink that denote naked skin, and you go, oh, well, that's pornography and we'll block it, or the file name is something that indicates it might be in block it. Now, that requires incredibly huge amounts of processing power, which simply don't exist. Or if they do exist, they're just going to massively add to the cost of your internet connection, because, let's face it, any internet service provider is going to pass on the cost to their customers. And it's almost as if it hasn't been thought through, the policy hasn't been thought through by anyone who actually understands the numbers. I can put a few more numbers on this by people who are much better mathematicians than me and people with real-world experience. In a medium-sized internet service provider, if you are talking about looking at the best filter that has been tested, the very best filter still blocked 3% of sites that should not have been blocked, that were perfectly legitimate. That means in an average middle-sized internet service provider, 3,000 web accesses will be blocked incorrectly every second.
How would you know when you've been blocked?
You would click on a link in a website, you'd enter an address, mm-hmm. and instead of getting what you wanted to get, you presumably get some sort of error message that says that's not available.
So you won't get a government message, you'll get just an error message.
Well, we don't know.
You don't know.
Well, that's the point. The technology hasn't been chosen.
Right.
The lab test trial, it was really an open invitation from anyone who made filter technologies to say, look, make them available, we'll test them in the lab and see how good they are, we'll see what they block. And while we're also looking at the refused classification and X-rated and R18 plus rated material, we'll also see how they go on M and PG and whatever, just to see.
Just in case we decide to block those later.
Well, this is the question, isn't it? Why test something that you have no intention of ever doing?
Senator Conroy's talked about blocking content to do with real violence, cruelty, sexual violence, and aren't these the sort of things that are covered in the daily news and in documentaries and in history?
Or the Bible.
Or the Bible.
To use the example that the Christian right don't like us pointing out. Indeed, Conroy is now backpedalling on this quite a lot. And in interviews in the media in the last couple of weeks, he says, no, we're only talking about blocking material that is currently illegal. And I'm sure that when we get to the discussion, which we'll have down the track, then all sorts of people will have other ideas about what they will and won't want to block. And certainly some people have said, well, we want to block websites that support anorexia as a lifestyle choice, or gambling, and so on. This really gets to the politics of it and why I suspect that Conroy's caught between a rock and a hard place, because in the Senate, the balance of power is held by Family First Senator Steve Fielding and Independent Senator Nick Xenophon from South Australia, who's very much an anti-gambling person, but he's also very much a populist, and he knows very well that when you talk about protecting the kiddies, you know, this is a very powerful thing to get the voters on your side, and his history in the Senate. Well, he's very new to the Senate, but he's from South Australia and was a very successful independent politician there. He knows how to stir up the popular vote. Now, the government, the Rudd government, needs those Senate votes to get through any legislation that the Liberals would otherwise block. So my guess is that all this was a bargaining chip for votes in the Senate, and Senator Conroy does not want to change any of this, because otherwise Family First and Nick Xenophon will say, ah, but you promised, well, etc., etc., etc. But as I say, there is no clear policy. Now, if there was a policy that said we want the internet generally to be rated up to MA 15 plus, and anything beyond that will be banned, say, then that would be a clear policy. You could test it and do it and so on. But it seems almost that there's this fishing expedition to see what sort of things they can and can't filter. And that, to me, is policy backwards.
So do you think maybe it's hot air in politics and they don't really want to succeed?
I sometimes wonder whether Senator Conroy, yes, is hoping that the trials will go ahead and prove comprehensively that this won't work, because my prediction is that's precisely what's going to happen. It is incredibly easy to defeat this kind of filtering, whether it's a filter installed on your PC or a filter out at the internet service provider. It's very easy to get around it. Maybe he's hoping that it will fail. He can then come back and say to Senators Fielding and Xenophon, well, look, we tried. We upheld our part of the bargain. We've tried, but it's not going to work. Thank you, goodbye.
The problem, though, is if they're not defining what it is in legislation that they're banning or how they're doing it, how do you prove that the filter's working or not working? In fact, how do you prove it's not working? Do you have to say, hey, I saw an illegal website, come and arrest me? Or what's the proof?
Well, you can prove it's not working the other way, I suppose, by saying I tried to access a perfectly legitimate website about breast cancer self-examination, which is certainly going to have pictures of naked breasts on it, or perhaps the first time that a worried member of parliament decides to check out a website on testicular cancer, maybe he'll then be worried that he's not going to report that either. I don't know.
No, see, this is the problem. People might not be reporting them. And if there's not a error message that tells you it's been blocked, if it's just a generic one, or it could just be service difficulties, there doesn't seem to be a way to prove that it does work or that it doesn't. So it seems like a flawed trial from the start.
It'll be interesting to see what comes out of this. The documents about the live field test trials were only released a few days ago as this goes to air. And, you know, I think people are still rummaging through that to find out what it all means. Certainly some major internet service providers have pointed out problems with this. And indeed, the chief executive officer of iiNet, which is the third largest ISP in Australia, has said, yes, they will be signing up for the trial so they can demonstrate quite thoroughly that it's a bad idea.
Or at least that's what they tell their customers.
The thing about iiNet is that it was one of the ISPs that was founded by geeks and is still very much run at its core by geeks. So they're interested in making this policy go away. But even Telstra, which I think the polite way of saying that they're a more politically oriented organisation, certainly Telstra have had one of their spokesmen saying that it even raises a legal problem, that if someone signed up to say, yes, the internet should be filtered so my child is safe, well, the error rate is such that, I mean, let's put some numbers on this. If something blocks 95% of sites that are bad, it only means your kiddie has to try 20 sites. The first 19 are blocked, and the last one they get through to something naughty. Like, people think, oh, 95% successful. That's really actually not very good.
And is it only the web that they're looking to censor, or is it everything internet, including instant message, voice over IP, file sharing?
It comes back to my point again. We don't know. They're making this up as they go along. The trials are to evaluate what can and cannot be blocked. In the phase one trial, it was very clear that the numbers I'm talking about there, the success rates, were really about web traffic. None of the filters tested could deal with peer-to-peer file sharing traffic at all. None of the filters really can deal with encrypted traffic, and there's the problem. If the traffic is encrypted, it's encoded between your computer and wherever else you're connecting to, then a filter can't see what's inside that. The only choice is to block all encrypted traffic, which just simply won't work because that means you can't connect to your bank. It means that if you're at home, you can't connect to your business's office over your virtual private network. You can't have a Skype conversation with someone because that's an encrypted telephone conversation. That's the problem. You either have to block all encrypted traffic or not. And if you block encrypted traffic, then you throw out all of the legitimate encrypted traffic with it.
And who do you complain to if your own website gets blocked?
The organisation would presumably be the Australian Communications and Media Authority, ACMA, which covers everything to do with the internet, with broadcasting, with communication and the media generally. Now, with 3,000 bad blocks a second per internet service provider, per whatever, you can imagine the complaint levels are going to be high. They're going to need, someone calculated you would need tens or hundreds of thousands of staff just to process the inbound complaints.
So maybe we don't have to worry too much.
Maybe, except that from my point of view, of someone who personally cares about the human rights aspect of freedom of speech, what is being proposed is a mechanism for blocking certain kinds of conversation and dialogue on the internet. It is being managed centrally. It is being decided by the government what is good and what is bad. And the list of what is good and what is bad is being kept secret from us. There has been no real public consultation about whether this is a good thing or not. And the kind of public response, network engineer Mark Newton from Internode, although he's writing as a private citizen, has been very vocal about this and put a lot of very pertinent questions, none of which has been answered. Because every time someone criticises Senator Conroy on this, or I should say criticises the plan for filters, Conroy's response has been to say, well, are you supporting child pornography? Now, the Green Senator Scott Ludlam has been tough enough to endure that kind of comment and persist in answering the questions. And indeed, in the Senate only last week, he asked again and again, and Senator Conroy is just simply not answering the question.
Well, Stilgarian, thank you very much.
Pleasure, Ian.
Crikey!
If you'd like to hear more stories, then subscribe on the website
www.hereswhy.tk.
Since people seem to be marching for their causes these days, I have here a march for mine. It's called Smut. Give me smut and nothing but a dirty novel I can't shut if it's uncut and unsut. Tull. I've never quibbled if it was ribbled. I would devour where others merely nibbled. As the judge remarked the day that he acquitted my Aunt Hortense, to be smut it must be utterly without redeeming social importance. Pornographic pictures I adore, indecent magazines galore. I like them more if they're hardcore. Bring on the obscene movies, murals, postcards, neckties, samplers, stained glass windows, tattoos, anything. More, more, I'm still not satisfied. Stories of tortures used by debauchers, lurid, licentious, and vile, make me smile. Novels that pander to my taste for candor give me a pleasure sublime. Let's face it, I love slime. All books can be indecent books, though recent books are bolder, for filth, I'm glad to say, is in the mind of the beholder. When correctly viewed, everything is lewd. I could tell you things about Peter Pan and the Wizard of Oz. There's a dirty old man. Any book like Fanny Hill, and I suppose I always will, if it is swill and really filthy. Who needs a hobby like tennis or philately? I've got a hobby, rereading Lady Chatterley. But now they're trying to take it all away from us unless we take a stand, and hand in hand we fight for freedom of the press. In other words, smut, I love it. Ah, the adventures of a slut. Oh, I'm a market they can't glut. I don't know what compares with smut. Hip, hip, hooray, let's hear it for the Supreme Court. Don't let them take it away.